So we're going to be talking a lot about mood, feeling cranky, feeling irritable, and things that we can do to help balance that with herbs and other lifestyle things. So I want to focus a lot on the herbal remedies because that's my, first of all, it's my area of expertise. It's probably the things that are going to be the most new to you that I can help you with. But that doesn't mean it's a one-pronged approach. It's really important to look at this sort of holistically and say, what are the other steps that you can do to look at this from a holistic perspective? And I have those outlined on the first page. There's really six things to balancing our hormones and having healthy moods throughout the year. We're going to talk about the herbs mostly today, but gut health is super important in this area. Making sure you have the essential vitamins and nutrients in your diet or you're supplementing. Making sure you're optimizing your sleep, which is a whole nother topic. That's one of the classes that I actually teach is how do we manage our sleep? And especially with hormonal fluctuations, perimenopausal time, menopausal time, sleep can be drastically changed. We almost have to just sit back and expect a change in our sleep as we age and just know that there are tools that we can use to support it. And I'll touch a little bit on those, but that is a bigger topic. Exercise is important for all of us for so many things, for mood, bone health, all of those things. We can't ignore that. And then lastly, thinking about a daily meditation practice. And if meditation is something that you're not interested in, even looking at it from a perspective of stillness, having 10 minutes a day to yourself, it doesn't have to be meditation, but taking that time for you has been shown to be super supportive in our overall mood and energy. So we'll spend a lot of today on the herbs, but I left a little bit of time at the end to go deeper in those other five areas as well. Okay. I'm just curious, how many of you have a meditation practice now? Okay, that's a pretty good percentage. I often will tell, I have a class on meditation too, but one of the studies I love to talk about is, you know, with brain scans, we can really see changes in our brains. Meditation is beneficial, helpful, and clinically validated. But they've actually shown similar benefits from using like adult coloring books or taking a meditative and mindful walk in the woods. So I love to bring that up because it doesn't have to be sitting in silence. That doesn't work for everybody. But. Okay. All right, so we're going to jump right into some of the herbs, and I start with like one of my absolute favorites. I have to be careful because I realize sometimes I say that about every herb. It's sort of like picking a favorite child, right? Because herbs are these, they all have personalities. They all have things that where they pair well with individuals, what makes them excellent. And they're so unique that it's hard to pick a favorite, but if I had to, I might say turmeric is one of my favorites. And turmeric is a spectrum of, in the way herbs are looked at, it's the spectrum of food through supplementation. Turmeric is something you can add to your diet very easily, and a lot of the studies have been done on the Indian population where they eat several tablespoons of turmeric a day and find that they have less dementia, better brain health, less depression. And those are being fleshed out in clinical trials now as to why. So just adding turmeric to your diet is a huge thing that you can do. But then there's also more on the other side of the spectrum where we can take it as a supplement. And I often recommend turmeric as a supplement for certain people, depending on what's going on with them. So let's dig into it a little bit. The active ingredient in turmeric, which is being studied, is curcumin. So you'll often hear that name when you look at a supplement bottle, when you turn it over, it tells you how much of it is curcumin. There's also some debate to say, yeah, we can pull out the active constituent of turmeric, and we know that one thing is shown in studies to do well. But let's not devalue the potential benefits of the whole herb, because there are other constituents within turmeric that are probably helping the turmeric, the curcumin, do what it does well. So I wouldn't say that isolating curcumin only is necessarily better. I think more research needs to be done. Taking turmeric in its whole form actually has a lot of benefit as well. All right, so turmeric first started getting the eye of researchers because of the statistically lower cancer rates in populations that had high turmeric diets. There's actually some research being done in some of the top institutes like Dana-Farber here in our area, and then MD Anderson as well, where they're looking at treating cancers with curcumin extract, and they're having a lot of really positive data coming out of those studies. So if it can be used to help treat some cancers, it's also being shown to be preventative of cancers. So it's really a wonderful herb to include in our diets as much as we can. It's very antioxidant, rich in antioxidants. Antioxidants help us with our overall health, and it's why I use turmeric a lot when I'm working with clients trying to become pregnant, both men and women. Turmeric has been shown to improve sperm parameters, everything from mobility, motility, and morphology, as well as looking at egg quality. So there are real data that we can look at to say turmeric is improving health parameters. And I always say, like, fertility is a bit of the canary in the coal mine. I'm going to guess that most of us in the room are not interested in becoming pregnant anymore. Like, we've passed that. But I think when you see that egg quality is improved, that is a sign of your overall health improving. So I think that's still important data for us to think about. Okay, so now there's a huge amount of research coming out recently over the last 5 years for depression. And we think that turmeric may work in a couple ways with depression. There's a big component to depression that's suspected to be inflammatory. And turmeric is very anti-inflammatory. It works along the same pathway as Celebrex. It's called the COX-2 enzyme. So there's other drugs that work along that pathway, and that's how turmeric works. So I often will recommend turmeric for clients who have, like, osteoarthritis, joint pain, rheumatoid arthritis, even just a really hard workout, and you're feeling achy and not feeling, you might want to reach for an Advil. Try reaching for some turmeric first. That anti-inflammatory effect is pretty good. So that's probably the way, partly why turmeric has been shown to be beneficial in depression clients, but there's probably other components that we haven't figured out yet in the research. The other part is that turmeric is really helpful in gut health. And remember, I had gut health listed as a second parameter. That's also a whole other talk I do on the microbiome. So how familiar are most of you with the microbiome, our gut health? A little bit, in that it's coming up more and more in mainstream media and news. So the gut microbiome is the bugs that are in our large intestines, and we have to have a healthy balance there. The reason it's so important is that the majority of the neurotransmitters that are responsible for us feeling good, so dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, they're not produced in the brain. About 10% are, but 90% are produced in your gut. So if you wipe out your gut microbiome, you drop dramatically low in things, and GABA is one of them, serotonin, GABA. All of those feel-good neurotransmitters, you're not producing them because your gut bacteria is what produces them. The other one is our immunity. 90% of our immune cells are also produced in the gut. So that's why often after being on a course of antibiotics, you might be more susceptible to getting colds and viruses. You've wiped out your microbiome, you got to build it back, and until then, your gut, your immune health is slightly decreased. So back to turmeric. Turmeric helps balance our microbiome. It feeds the good bacteria. So if you can feed the good bacteria, they grow, and then you can starve out the bad bacteria by doing things like less sugar, less Advil, less antibiotics. So you start kind of pushing out the bad bacteria, you feed the good bacteria, turmeric is one way to feed it, and you'll start rebalancing your microbiome, and you're going to have better moods. So much so that, and I don't want to go too far down the path, but this is so exciting that I love sharing this story. They looked at mice, and they took a population of mice that all were healthy, normal mice. And then they took the microbiome of clinically depressed humans, and they did like a fecal transplant. So they put in their large intestines the microbiome of depressed humans, and they, within 24 hours, the mice treated became depressed. And it was dramatic. And then they've also taken mice where they've wiped out their microbiome with antibiotics, and they've become stressed and depressed. And then the reverse is true. We can build that microbiome back up through probiotics and diet and things like turmeric, and those that depression can go away. So microbiome is huge, and it's really exciting, and that may be why, another contributing factor to why turmeric is so beneficial in this population. Hello, come on in. Hi. pick a seat wherever you're comfortable. There's handouts everywhere. And just so you know, we're recording this for the attendees and for anyone who couldn't make it. So you know. all right. So I'm an herbalist who loves science, as you probably have already guessed, because I've mentioned research and studies a million times already. So in your handouts, I've actually linked and quoted some of the most exciting research on turmeric. I won't go through each one of them for time purposes, but I will pull out one, and I'm not sure which one it is on here, but they did a study where they compared it to, it was a really well-controlled study. They had a group on placebo, meaning nothing. They had a group on Prozac, and then they had a group of people on turmeric. And the turmeric and the Prozac group both performed exactly the same. They had the same outcomes. So, and then there was another study where if you take people who are on Prozac and add turmeric to their regimen and compared that to Prozac only, and the turmeric plus Prozac people did better. They had better depression scores than the Prozac only. So this is something that I almost universally, whenever I'm working with a client in my office, if they're on Prozac, I add turmeric to their regimen. If they're in that depression category and they're trying to come off of or wean off of antidepressants, we add turmeric in. And anytime there's a kind of longer standing mood or depression issue, always add turmeric. And there's very few side effects. I mean, it's food grade. You could start slowly with adding more turmeric to your cooking. You could try a golden milk recipe, which I have on page 3. Even just adding that amount of turmeric a day, you might start seeing some benefits. But then there's also the supplement route, which is where you get the therapeutic doses that were studied in the studies that I mentioned.
Does the body get rid of it like some vitamins that if you give it too much, then, or is it?
It's not water soluble, so it does not go out in your urine. It sort of, but it's not fat soluble, and that doesn't bioaccumulate in your fat cells either. So the recommendation is to take, I think, one supplement per day. It's not multiple times per day. Yeah. For ages, I adjust by weight. So the recommendations on most the back of a bottle would be for an adult, which they assume 150 pounds. So then I assume weight-wise, if it's a child who's 75, that's easy. You just do it in half. Otherwise, I just do the math and adjust it that way. But I feel like anyone over 100 pounds is probably an adult dose category. I've listed some of my favorite brands. Like, I really like Gaia. I like, if you're taking it as a tincture, Herbalist and Alchemist and Herb Farm. And then if you're going to take it as a tea, I mean, tea is much lower dosage, but it's a great way to enjoy it throughout the day and have a little bit more. And I listed some of my brands there. I will send you this in PDF form because all of anything that's underlined has a hyperlink behind it. So it makes it a lot easier. Have any of you tried a golden milk recipe before? Yeah. What do you think of it?
Have I had golden milk? Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's good, really good. I was drinking a lot of it when I had a shoulder problem.
So you were doing it for the anti-inflammatory pain. How did you feel it was helping?
I mean, I was doing a lot of milk. I was doing a million things. So
yeah,
it's hard to isolate
it. Yeah.
I'm sure. It was delicious.
Yes. I like doing golden milk at night. Yeah. Yeah, I do it warm. Traditionally, the recipe that I have here is the traditional recipe where you warm up some fat with either coconut milk or ghee. You add the turmeric and always add black pepper. And this is true in cooking as well. Turmeric is more bioabsorbable. It's absorbed better with the combination of fresh ground black pepper, not the kind that's already ground sitting in a salt and pepper shaker. Like, you take the real one and grind it. It improves bioavailability by 2,000%. It's huge. And interestingly, it's like ancestrally, Indian population knew this. So if you look at curries and recipes that involve turmeric, they always have that black pepper with it.
What if you're taking it in the capsule?
They always add, and that's how you can flush out a good versus bad capsule. But I have not found a capsule that doesn't. You'll see it listed as pepperine.
Okay.
Or pepper.
So they already take care
but the
of
brands
that.
That I've mentioned do. I don't know if you were to buy something off the shelf at like Walmart or Costco, it may be just curcumin without the pepper, and in that case, you're not getting the full benefit. But most quality brands know that.
Okay.
And I also just to give you a sense, if you look at the studies, they give you the amount of curcumin used in the studies, and it's usually around 400 milligrams. And you can see that you need about a tablespoon of turmeric to equal that. And like my recipe is a teaspoon of turmeric. So you're going to have to try to have, if you wanted to get the therapeutic doses, you're going to be eating turmeric in many recipes throughout your day, or you're going to have it as a supplement.
Okay. it's never too much.
There's really never too much.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have athletes in your family, another, like my daughters are gymnasts, they're only 11, so the 11-year-old gymnasts, but even their coach recommends that all gymnasts should be drinking turmeric tea once or twice a day to help with their inflammation and help their bodies heal. And it's funny because I've been saying this for years, of course, and I'm just like, they call me the health freak mom, right? Like my kids roll their eyes. And then we're in their gym and they're doing a nutrition talk and they're looking back at me, they're like, oh, I know. Not as crazy. Not as crazy as you think. So. Okay, so that is turmeric. I always start with that. I absolutely love it. The only part, I don't know if I have this written here. So it's very, very safe, very few side effects or contraindications. It is recommended before you have surgery to stop turmeric because it can change the clotting factors of your blood. But other than that, super safe. It's even safe for people who take anticoagulant medications because you're monitored so that your medication that can adjust to the turmeric, but you should be watched. Okay. Any questions on turmeric? All right. Lemon balm. How many of you are familiar with lemon balm? It's a little. It's becoming a little more common as a garden herb. I don't know. Do any of you grow it? It's just the smell of it is amazing. And have you cooked with it?
Green tea.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Do you dry the tea or do you just put the leaves in water and?
Depends on what's around.
Yeah.
Both.
Lemon balm is it's easy to grow. It's a beautiful mint family herb. Super aromatic. It almost smells like fake. It's like lemon pledge kind of smelling. You can cook with it. There are certain recipes like some Chinese stir fries is excellent with lemon balm. But it's most known for being anti-anxiety and uplifting. So I pull lemon balm in whether I'm working with somebody for mood, hormonal shifts, depression, or anxiety and panic attacks because it really is, it's uplifting, but it's anxiolytic as well. So it helps calm anxiety. It's also been shown to help with insomnia. So it's common in sleep blends and sleep teas, but not... It doesn't make you drowsy or sleepy. So you could have it at, in the morning for tea. You could have it at 2 in the afternoon. It's not going to make you sleepy, but it can help promote healthy sleep patterns in the evening. Just kind of calms
so
and...
just help, like...
Yeah, it's not...
Out before bed, you might just get into your sleep.
Yes, in the sense that it helps you release your day and be less anxious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's not a sedative.
Okay.
It's also been shown to help improve cognitive function, which we were talking about earlier, that sort of brain fog, ability to process better and have better focus. So I always include lemon balm with if I'm working with somebody who has ADHD or any kind of focus issues. And it's actually been studied in that way. So one of the links that I have here is they were school-age children, and they were all diagnosed with ADHD. They gave them a lemon balm supplement, not a huge dose, and within 1 hour, they were watching for certain parameters, behavioral markers. Within 1 hour, their ADHD behaviors had decreased.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's almost like I joke that it should be in the water. And in the summer, when it's fresh in my garden, I do make a big pitcher of water, and I just pull out handfuls of lemon balm, and I stick it in the pitcher in the refrigerator, and we sort of all drink it all day long.
I was just going to say, can we put it in candy or ice cream?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is certainly one that has no contraindications, no side bad benefits. One of the things I'll talk about towards the end, but one of the reasons I love herbs so much is because as opposed to having side effects like many medications and drugs do, they have side benefits. So if I'm working with somebody and giving them lemon balm to help lift their mood and improve their focus, that's a great reason. There are other properties to lemon balm, such as it improves your immune system, it's antiviral. It's actually been shown to fight certain flu viruses in vitro studies. So suddenly your immune system's getting better and we weren't even working on that. I might have it in here. It's such a cool fact about lemon balm, it's been shown to help protect our body from DNA damage from radiation. So they looked at x-ray technicians, and you know how x-ray technicians wear a badge that actually captures how much radiation they're exposed to. And even though they stand behind the lead and they wear stuff, they still get some level of radiation from their job. And it's tested every month. So we know that they were getting exposed to radiation. So they took a group of lab x-ray technicians and separated them into two groups. And one group they just gave warm water and lemon to every day. And the other group they gave 2 cups of lemon balm tea. 2 cups of tea a day is a very low dose. Like if I want somebody to take something therapeutically, I want them to take 4 to 6 cups a day, which is hard to do. So we usually go to a tincture or a supplement. Anyway, 2 cups a day. At the end of the month, they had 70% less radiation damage than the placebo group. So I keep lemon balm tincture form, which I can talk more about tinctures if you're not familiar with them. I keep the tincture form of lemon balm on hand. So anytime someone in my family gets a dental x-ray or a chest x-ray or any x-ray for any reason, we do lots of lemon balm. If I know it ahead of time, I'll do some before, but often you don't know. Afterwards, I'll do it for at least a month after. I mentioned how I was recently seeing a chiropractor and I had to have neck x-rays. I was taking pretty significant doses of lemon balm for a month after that, just to help my body clear it up. So anyway, that's just a side tangent of sort of the, that's why I say it's so hard to pick a favorite herb. They're like children. They all have these great unique benefits and personalities. So, okay. So lemon balm has, in art, what we're talking about today, it's been shown to be really helpful for people who get stressed and their response is anger. So when I talk to somebody, one of the questions I'll ask is, okay, if you're getting stressed, if you're anxious, if you're not at your best, do you want to lash out at people? Are you having, you know, that rage? Or do you withdraw and get really sad and want to sleep more? And sometimes it's both, but depending on the situation. But sometimes there's a more clear pattern. And whenever someone tells me, you know what, when I'm stressed, I'm angry. I'm, you know, this is like in your head all day long, you're like, you're such an asshole. I can't believe you just said that. Like, you know, like that kind of thought, like we all have moments where we feel this way. But if that tends to be something you're feeling even in the moment, lemon balm is a great herb to reach for. It's also antiviral. It's specific to the herpes simplex virus. And cold sores and shingles are both part of that viral family. So it's an old-fashioned treatment for shingles. So you can use lemon balm as like an oil or in the old days they'd go out and they'd take some lemon balm and they'd boil it in hot water and then they'd take that hot, they'd make a concentrated tea and then they'd take that and they'd spritz it over. Today we would probably buy a lemon balm tincture or a lemon balm oil and just dab it over the shingles and take it internally because it'll help your body really fight that. And for cold sores, I've had some clients who, I'm not working with them on cold sores, but they'll mention it and we'll say, okay, let's add lemon balms to your overall tincture protocol because it's going to help you in other ways anyway. And over time, their cold sores will decrease or go away. So it's a great herb for that as well. When I think of lemon balm, it's really synonymous with the word uplifting. If you ask a lot of herbalists what they think of when they think of lemon balm, they'll just say it's just joyful, it's uplifting, it's happy. It's also it's often specific to seasonal affective disorder. So if you tend to get depressed in the winter, lemon balm is a great herb to help lift that as well. Even just the aromatherapy of it. There's a famous herbalist, David Winston, who will say he'll grow his lemon balm, he'll bring it in for the winter in a pot. And it's just rustling it up and smelling it. Because I did say it's a super strong, like, lemony pledge. Just that alone can help them feel a little bit brighter throughout. I tried to overwinter mine. It died. I have my herb garden. I pulled out a chunk of it, put it in a pot, was being very loving and pruning. And, like, I just watched it die. It was really sad. So I'm not a great gardener. As an herbalist, it's not my strength. I'm way more scientific and clinical. But I talked to the people at Herb Farm. And I'm like, I killed my lemon balm. It's a mint family plant. Who kills mint family plants? And they said, actually, once they've been outdoors and they don't. She's like, you'd be better having bought a lemon balm plant, starter plant indoors in a pot and just keep it indoors forever. And that one would do better. So I'm gonna try that.
Put it in water, like you said that you do.
Yeah.
One, is it very overpowering? Like, is the water super lemony?
I don't think it's overpowering. Okay. It is pretty lemony, though. Okay. You're not, yeah.
In the same way a mint leaf would be? Like,
yes.
Okay.
It's as strong as a mint leaf.
And how much are you getting if you put some in water?
So if I'm going to do my own little cup, I might take a sprig of one bomb about that big
okay.
and put it in. If I'm doing a pitcher,
yeah.
I'll grab, you know, a big kind of handful.
And
of
you
it.
Put one sprig in your drink. Is
mm-hmm.
that like enough for a day or is that actually pretty small?
It's
dose?
Very small. It'd
okay.
be equivalent to maybe one cup of tea.
Okay.
And
okay.
the study was done with 2 cups, but I would recommend
okay.
if you're talking about it for therapeutic purposes,
yeah.
like you really want to address a mood issue or concentration or an ADHD
yeah.
or even cold sores, I would actually recommend that you take it as a tincture.
Okay.
1 milliliter of tincture, so that's one squirt of the dropper,
yeah.
is equivalent to about 4 cups of tea.
Okay. And if you were to drink, if you're helping it for just sort of easier to fall asleep, help
yeah.
sleeping, is the tea enough?
Yeah, the tea could be great. 1 cup
okay.
at night.
Okay. And one last question.
Yeah, no, please.
Just keep talking about tincture, and I noticed like here, tincture is the dosage and not a supplement. Can you just
yes.
explain
it's very hard to find lemon balm as a supplement.
Okay.
So they probably exist. It's not common. As a supplement, I would just follow the dosing directions on the packaging.
Okay. And a
tincture
is?
A tincture is a liquid extract in usually alcohol, sometimes glycerin, and it's 1 milliliter is like one full dropper full.
Okay.
And you take a tincture and you drop it in water, and then you just drink it.
Oh.
Doesn't taste great.
You know, I was just going to drop it right on my tongue.
I sometimes have it with me. Let me see if I
can. You
can
do mixed tinctures. You can do one big squirt once a day.
You can.
When
that's what I do. So
really?
Okay. I should have started with this. Sorry.
Okay.
So when I, this is a tincture of, this happens to be holy basil, which I think we're going to talk about, so I can pass it around.
This is a tincture bottle. This is 2 ounces. This is the dropper full. You squeeze it. This is 1 milliliter.
Okay.
So a typical herbal dose is anywhere from 1 to 5 milliliters.
Leave that whole thing in.
Yep.
Is there a lime on there?
No, but it's how much it comes up. You can't make it go up anymore.
Oh. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like when
and
you
put it under your tongue if you're doing
I don't because it's alcohol based. Now, you could. And the reason I say no because it's alcohol based is because over time that alcohol under that sensitive
yeah.
part of your tongue could really not be good for your the tissue there. You could do it in like an emergency, herbal emergency. Like I there is an herb called rhodiola, which is very good for improving your energy in the moment. So if I'm on a long car ride and I'm like, I'm falling asleep, I need to stay awake, I'll grab the rhodiola tincture and I'll just put it right, I won't put it under my tongue, I'll put it right into my mouth and swallow it. It tastes awful, it burns your mouth, but, but I will do it. But I don't recommend that on a regular basis. So this, I take about 1 ounce of water, or about how much you have in your cup there. And I'll pass this around so you guys can welcome to try some with water. That means, sorry, I thought I turned it off.
I will pass this around and you can try it.
And you just drink it in the water. So when I make a blend for a client,
yeah.
I will be working together. And it's never just one herb that someone needs. It's like we're working on a protocol. So I think maybe 5 to 7 herbs is typical. And I'll blend all of those herbs into one bottle that looks like this. And say, okay, this has 5 to 7 herbs in it. You're going to take 2 of those dropperfuls or more twice a day.
Okay.
And then you get all of the herbs together.
So as opposed to having to take a bunch of
yes.
different supplement
yes.
pills,
yes.
you can just have your...
Yes.
And is the tincture or a supplement pill, are they absorbed as readily?
Yeah, so in theory, they should be equal in dosage.
Okay.
But what we know about our gut health is that we have to break down those capsules. So supplements tend to be the least effective way to get anything into our bloodstream because our body has to break down that capsule. And they have done studies to say some people don't break them down very well. They've looked at like, you know, they look at your poop afterwards and they find like parts of supplements that have been undigested.
Well,
not everybody.
Yeah, and they're made of, a lot of them are just made with
yeah.
crappy stuff like
yes.
shellac. And
you can kind of comment on this
yeah.
more.
Yeah,
so it depends on the, it depends on the quality of the supplement
okay.
and then it depends on your body's ability to absorb, to break it down.
Yeah.
And then it depends on, and then the last piece was the cost. So it's a lot more cost effective to have herbal tinctures than to buy them in supplement form.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean I use like turmeric. If I want to put them on turmeric, I always use the supplement form because I don't want them taking this, you know, 5 milliliters
yeah.
of this twice a day. I'd rather them just take a capsule once a day so it's more ease of use.
Okay.
But when I do my herbal blends, I blend them all together. I'll leave this here so you guys can try it later if you want. But that's holy basil, which we will be talking about next.
I just wanted to say
yeah.
something about the dropper, which I just learned. Is
yeah.
that you kind of said it, but I don't know if everybody got it. Like for me, I was like, I'm using this dropper and it's not getting full and you're all confused,
yes.
like, am I supposed to do a full
yes.
dropper? But the amount
yes.
that is pulled up is the correct
it's
amount. There's no line.
Yeah.
It's just the correct
it
amount.
It always goes.
Why isn't there a
yeah.
line? There doesn't need to be a line because the bulb is a certain size,
oh.
so it squeezes.
Yeah,
the
it's
amount.
The suction of the bulb. I'm
like
glad you mentioned
that.
And I have had many people will email or text me after I put them on a protocol. They're like, I can't get them at the dropper full. And I try to say in my notes that I send them home with, like, one dropper full, it looks about half full, but it's as full as it gets. But I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, it's confusing. Cause
it
I
is confusing.
Mean, for years I've been
yeah.
taking them, and I'm like, am I doing this right? And I just found this out, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, thank you. She's done. Okay, any other questions on lemon balm? Lemon balm is a great herb for all of us. It's also one of my favorite herbs to use with children because it is so safe and so well studied. And it's, I think our kids are all, I mean, how many children don't need a little help with their attention and focus and, you know, helping them feel uplifted?
It's interesting that you described this as far as what you do for clients. But
yes.
So mixing is never it seems like you could have all of these.
You could.
It's not that
yes.
big of a deal.
There are very, very few herbs that don't mix well together. And everything I'm talking about today does mix well together. Sometimes, you know, when you mix, you might end up diluting a little bit. But so you want to be strategic. Like, do I really need to take up part of my formula with this? But if you're taking them individually on your own, that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Any questions on lemon balm? All right. Now, holy basil. So holy basil, which is the tincture that I have here, it's also called tulsi. Has anyone heard of this? It's a pretty popular Indian herb and tea. So you often,
tea.
If you, yeah, you'll look and see tulsi tea,
mm-hmm.
that's holy basil. Holy basil is very, very, very popular in India for its Zen-like state of being. And it got this kind of reputation because monks always used tulsi tea before meditating. Because it allowed them, and they, you know, monks meditate for a very long time. They might meditate for 8 hours at a time. It was thought that it would give them the stamina and energy to be alert, but calm. So it's not, again, it's not a sedating herb, it's a calming herb. So it can give you energy. I drink holy basil tea every morning. I mix it with green, so I do half green, half holy basil. So I get a little bit of caffeine with the green, but I get this uplifting, but calming, benefit with the holy basil. It's used to calm but yet energize, relieve anxiety and grief. But one of the other things it's really good at is balancing our cortisol and blood sugar levels. And that's why I have it in this talk where we're focusing on mood as well as our hormones, because part of the hormonal shifts that we all experience is from blood sugar fluctuations, which trigger a cascade of hormones, starting with cortisol. So when our blood sugar shifts, our cortisol goes up. When our cortisol goes up, there's this other cascade of hormones which happen, like norepinephrine, and you start to feel more anxious. But also when our cortisol goes up, we start to store body fat and our metabolism decreases. And that could happen that could happen 10 times a day. If you're having blood sugar fluctuations, you might have your cortisol increase and have a little hit to your metabolism and blood sugar. And then your body recovers, and then it could happen again, and then it can recover. So if we can smooth out those cortisol spikes throughout the day and have more balanced, you're going to have a more balanced hormonal response and just feel better in general. So holy basil gets to the root of all of that with blood sugar regulation. So I often use holy basil with people I'm working with who are pre-diabetic, or even type 2 diabetes, because we can help give them a little bit of blood sugar balancing support through holy basil. I also love, it really is known for its help with brain fog. And I really think that is, again, going to the root of the blood sugar imbalance. I think the blood sugar imbalance is a huge driver of brain fog, and holy basil can help kind of cut through that. It's also really good. So I mentioned earlier, if I'm talking to somebody and I ask them when they're feeling stressed or not their best, if they feel angry, and that makes me think of lemon balm. If I'm talking to somebody and I say, if you're in a stressful situation, where do you feel it in your body? And if they say, I get like my stomach feels like it's tightening or clenching, or I get butterflies in my stomach, that's a classic kind of personality for holy basil. So butterflies in the stomach or feeling your stress in your stomach. I'll often use this with like my daughters. I mentioned sometimes like before a big meet, they'll get they'll say, oh, I'm feeling a little nervous. I'm like feeling like butterflies in my stomach. And just a little bit of holy basil in some water can help calm those butterflies. It's great for people before public speaking because it just helps ground you and center you, but not sedate you. There was a study where they actually looked at people who had anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder or GAD, and they gave them holy basil extract as a supplement twice a day after meals. And they found that it significantly decreased their anxiety, and it also was correlated to decreased stress and depression. So there are some good studies on holy basil. In India, it's considered the tree of life. Is it the tree of life? I think it's called the tree of life because of tree of life of an immortality, because it's so protective of long-term health and wellness. It's revered. I have a friend who grew up in India, and she said, oh yeah, we had holy basil on every outside on our doorstep, and we would use it in all of our cooking, and it was just a normal part of our life because it's so revered.
How different is it from regular?
Very. Basil? Yeah, it doesn't. Regular basil has that sort of, well, you know, like peppery,
yeah,
sort of strong. Holy basil does still have a little bit of a peppery smell to it, but you can kind of get the smell through the tincture. It's a little bit different, though. Yeah, you're going to smell the alcohol. This is
okay.
But feel free to pass it around. You'll smell the alcohol, but you can sort of smell the plant through it, too. It's a really lovely plant.
So do you grow it?
Mm-hmm.
You
I do, but you don't have to. It's pretty easily accessible through tinctures, teas, and supplements.
Okay.
But I do grow it, and the bees love it. I love having it in the garden because it's a great pollinator. It's a beautiful plant.
You mentioned that we're having seeds
at the Yes. Yes, I really like going there.
Because they have great herbs.
They have great herbs. They're all organic. They know what they're doing, and they carry medicinal herbs. I can get everything I need there.
Oh, where's this?
Yeah,
sorry.
Herb pharmacy.
Yeah.
Herb farm, not pharmacy. Is it herb farm or pharmacy? Oh, you know what? I put it in the back. Hold on.
Yeah.
I always mix it up because it's the same name as a supplement company too. Herb.
It's herb pharmacy.
Thank you.
Sorry?
Yes.
It's herb pharmacy.
Yes.
Herb pharmacy?
And it's located in Salisbury.
It's pharmacy with an F, not a PH.
Yes.
And
I have it on page 8.
Yeah.
That's the only place I get my herbs now, or that I grow in my garden. But most of the herbs, honestly, even as an herbalist, I mentioned I'm not a great gardener, but most of my herbs that I use with clients, I buy through an herbal supplier for practitioners and use it that way because it's just too hard to grow enough to supply. So.
Unless you're Melissa.
Yeah. That's just not my talent. So the other thing I think of with holy basil is people who feel stuck. So sometimes with depression or mood issues, you are stuck in one emotional place. So you might have had a trauma that happened, you know, maybe it was a divorce 5 years ago, but you're still kind of energetically in that same place of depression, or even something that happened in childhood and you're just not letting it go. Holy basil is known energetically to kind of help us let go of those past hurts and move forward. Okay, so it's often used, you'll see it in also a lot of formulas for brain fog and cerebral health, because it does it does seem to help alleviate that brain fog. And again, I think it's partly the blood sugar connection that it does that. I absolutely love having it every day in my tea, because I also know, I didn't mention it in this, but it's also antiviral. There have been studies where they've shown it helps boost our immune parameters, and also that it's specifically antiviral to H1N1 flu. So, you know, it's a great cold and flu herb to have as well. And who doesn't want a little more support for cold and flu throughout the year? Do any of you drink green tea?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy basil is a great herb to blend with your green tea because they pair nicely together. And I often will recommend it for people who say they don't like green tea, because I think it helps with the flavor profile a little bit.
Okay.
As a, so you put, would you put the tincture in green tea?
No, sorry, I use holy basil tea.
Oh.
So I actually buy it as a tea form.
Oh.
Yep. And you can buy it, it will either be called holy basil or it'll be called Tulsi.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And actually, I have, I obviously have a loosely sweet teas at home that I.
So I most of the tea blends that I make are loose leaf, and I'm at home, so I have the luxury to do that, or I'm in my office. But if I'm traveling on the road and you can't make loose leaf tea, I've found a couple brands that I really like. And one of them is called Organic India, and they have a, and I'll just pass this around. So this is their, you've probably seen this, it's pretty popular. I'll pass it around. This is their blend that's green and holy basil together. I don't love it as much as when I make my own loose leaf tea, but when I'm traveling or if I'm in a pinch, this is excellent.
Okay.
It's as good as you can get in a tea bag, I think.
Where do you get your loose leaf tea?
My loose leaf tea, I mostly order from, I put some resources at the end, but Mountain Rose Herbs is fantastic. They have everything, and they have really good quality standards. They test everything for, like, heavy metals. A lot of it is grown on their own organic farm in the Pacific Northwest. So I love them. They're, most herbalists will say they use those. But I've found it, yep. But then there's a couple of local farms, which I like to support as when I can. So iFarm in Boxford is excellent, and Zach Woods in Vermont. Now, the good and the bad with them is because they're a small local farm, they sell out. Like, they get their harvest, they dry it, and then when it's gone, it's gone.
Can I just tell you something real quick? Did you get that email from iFarm last week?
Yes.
Okay,
Yes. So, so they've got a couple of things that they're selling out of, and then they're going to be done. Is that what you're talking about? They had some...
Well, it was a long list, list I saw.
It was a pretty long list, yeah. Yep, but I've gotten iFarms in Boxford, their holy basil. I mean, it's excellent because it's local and fresh. It's this season only. Like, when you order from Mountain Rose, it could be last season, but it's going to be better than, you know, getting a tea bag off of the shelf at Trader Joe's. So,
Does it have more impact if it's fresher?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. The greener it is, the better it is. Over time, it gets more brown.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, the next herb we're going to talk about is motherwort. Has anyone ever heard of or used motherwort?
Yeah.
Motherwort is a great herb.
Is that the St. John's wort?
It's different.
Okay.
Yes. So St. John's wort is kind of known as the depression herb, but it actually isn't my favorite go-to for depression. It's only for some specific types of depression, and it has a lot of contraindications with medications, so I tend to not use it a lot. And St. John's wort is a beautiful yellow plant that you'll see, like, you could see it along the shore and along the coast in this area. It looks very weedy and shrubby. Motherwort is a beautiful plant. It's also in the mint family, and it's a tall, purple flowering plant. And it's specifically, historically known for supporting women. So it's often used in PMS symptoms. It's often used with perimenopausal symptoms, and also through the menopause transition, it really helps with a lot of the symptoms that we've experienced during that time. For example, it's very classic for menopausal insomnia. So that's categorized where you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and can't have a hard time falling back asleep, and it's that same time every night. You can almost set a watch to it. You open your eyes and you look at your clock, and it's like 2:15, 2:15. Like, it's almost always the same. It has a lot to do with hormonal fluctuations and other things that are going on, but motherwort is very helpful and supportive in helping to balance out those sleep disturbances.
So would you take it throughout the month?
You would take it throughout the month, and you'd take it throughout the day. You wouldn't just take it at night. You would take, like, a morning dose and an evening dose, and just over time, it would help balance out and do its thing.
So most of these things you would just take every day.
Yeah.
And then do you have people where they have, like, their emergency herb, like, if they're feeling something very specific that they know?
Yes. So what I typically do is I think of, like, the daily formula, almost like you think of a multivitamin, although it's a bad analogy, but it's like you take it every day, and over time you're building up and balancing out.
Okay.
And then you have a specific, so for example, I was just working with somebody last week, similar to what you said, which is hers is more consistent, but she said, my 2 to 3 days a month, my PMS is so out of control. I'm not even me. I don't recognize myself. I'm like a monster. So we have a protocol and plan to help, including the herbs as well as some other supplements to help fill some nutritional gaps that she's taking every day, that over time, in a month to two to three, will help balance that out. And then in the moment, like in those 1 to 2 days where she's feeling her worst, I'll pull out a lot of the same herbs, not necessarily different ones, that you can take in higher doses in the moment to help get through those emotional times.
Okay, so have you taken them a higher dose?
Yes. And some of them are a little bit different. Some of them are more short acting, that I don't think I've talked about all of them here, but some of them are more like passion flower is something that's a little bit more calming and sedating, which can be really helpful depending on the person if they're feeling super agitated.
Okay.
I'll often do this when I'm working with somebody with anxiety. Anxiety is something we want to get to the root cause, which is usually some adrenal fluctuations. So we'll do the daily tincture twice a day, get that protocol going, and then I give them I call it the anxiety blend that you're going to take in the moment when you're feeling really anxious and maybe your heart is racing, and you'll calm that down in the moment. And then the hope is over time, you're not going to need the rescue blend, and the other blend takes over, and then over time your body adjusts and shifts, and maybe you don't even need that anymore. It's not always something you have to take forever for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you just need it to get through a time or a transition and for your body to rebalance. The other thing that's specific to motherwort is when I mentioned how you sometimes feel things in your parts of your body, a classic motherwort indication is when you feel stressed or down, you feel it in your heart and you actually may get palpitations. So assuming that you've ruled out any cardiac anomalies and you don't have, you know, a specific heart condition, but you're feeling palpitations, motherwort has been shown to help with those palpitations and help help smooth that out. It's also really helpful for people who feel like frazzled, anxious, overwhelmed, on a rampage even. It's that one of the classic sayings is motherwort is for mothers who need mothering. So it's like you're in that stage of like you're taking care of everybody else, you're doing everything for everybody, you're running yourself ragged, and you're just so fed up. That's sort of where motherwort can kind of come in and help with those emotions. It's fantastic for PMS symptoms. Yeah.
So
fouling
all of
them. I know. That's the thing.
I think my you day just take all of these.
Yes.
So
yes.
They all sound so.
They are. And what? Well, crazy. Usually what I do is like you could take all of them. And what I typically will do is flushing out how you're feeling. What are the big ones? And what do I think is kind of contributing to the root cause of how you're feeling? And I try to keep it to 5 to 7. Because anything, you can take more than that, but then you're like, it's a big commitment, right? It's like, I want, and a lot of times if you can get to the root of what's going on and pick those 5 things, you'll get 80% better in 3 to 4 months.
Right.
And then you can fine tune even more and say, okay, well, I'm feeling really a lot better, but my sleep is still an issue. So then we'll add in like a sleep tincture for just at night. Or my sleep got better, but I'm still feeling, you know, PMS, or I still get really anxious at certain points.
So yeah. If you have a just tea,
mm-hmm.
and then you're working on, say, these 5 or 6 or 7,
yes.
could you, instead of having, like, obviously you're not going to have 12 cups of tea,
right.
but, like, a different one on Monday, different on Tuesday, and or does that slow down the whole process?
It would, but I think rotating teas is, I almost often think of tea as, like, icing on the cake. I think it's great if you can have, but I really prefer tincture as my go-to, and then a few of them as a supplement because they tend to be better in that form, but in general. And then I think of tea as like that icing on the cake. You get a little bit more. There's the act of having tea in itself is very calming, and you get more minerals and supplements. So a lot of these herbs are very nutritious, and they have a lot of minerals in them. When you take them as tincture form, the minerals don't come across. So having it as a tea will give you a different nutritional benefit that you might not get through the tincture. And motherwort is one that I even mention it when I talk about dosage. I say only as tincture. It's not even available as a tea. It tastes awful. It's not an herb that tastes good at all. So most of the herbs I've mentioned take time to build, but motherwort and lemon balm are two herbs that you can take a somewhat higher dose of in the moment and feel an immediate effect.
What are those two you just found?
Motherwort, which we're talking about now, and the lemon balm.
Lemon.
Those two you can, and that's those are two that I would use in a as-needed blend, right? If I were giving someone a blend to say, take this if you're feeling anxious, or take this if you're feeling super PMS right now, those would be ones I would put in it because they have an immediate action as well as a long-term action.
How high is the dose? Like, what would a typical dose be that might kick in quickly?
1 to 5. I always say start low and work your way up until you feel it,
okay.
But up to 5 is safe, and taking it that 1 to 5, 3 times a day. So you could, at max, take 5 milliliters 3 times a day. You probably don't need that, though.
Yeah.
1 3 times a day could be enough.
Yeah.
And you want to start slow and build until you... Now, the only caveat with motherwort is that it can increase menstrual bleeding. So if you have... what I find with most people is if you have a normal menstrual cycle and your bleeding is, like, heavy normal, like, you know... It might be heavy for a couple of days, but it's not, you're not having a ton of pain and cramping and clotting and, you know, those other endometriosal symptoms. If it's sort of heavy but normal, motherwort doesn't seem to make much of a difference. But if I have, often I work with people who come to me because of severe menstrual pain and cramping and heavy bleeding, I would not put them on motherwort because I think that would make it worse. And it's also contraindicated in pregnancy because of that. It's called a menagogue effect, where it can potentially bring on uterine lining release, which you would not obviously want to do in pregnancy. Really helpful, like I said, for PMS symptoms, perimenopausal, and menopausal. Okay. Any questions on motherwort? And it tastes awful. And you can grow it around here. I do grow a big crop of it, relatively, and I get it at Herb Farm in Salisbury, and I tincture it. I turn it into it. I don't try to make a tea. I don't try to put it in water. It tastes awful. Okay. The next one is fresh milky oat. This is a very nourishing herb. It's from the oat plant. I would not do it if you have a gluten sensitivity or obviously celiac disease. And not because it has gluten in it. It doesn't. But it has a protein that's very similar, and sometimes people with gluten sensitivities can react to that.
Okay.
And there's also issues with cross-contamination because it's often processed in an area where they have gluten. So having said that caveat, that is not mine. Fresh milky oat is like a nourishment for your body. It is a really heavy in nutrients. And it's for that person who feels type A, frazzled, and wired all the time. And it's sort of that nourishing, soothing, almost like self-care for your nervous system. Whenever I meet with somebody and they're the kind of person who's doing everything for everybody and they never stop and they're kind of type A, and even I can tell as I'm talking to them, they're like their foot is shaking and they never stop talking, and I feel almost anxious just being around them. That kind of person does really well with fresh milky oats because it just helps to support, soothe, and dampen down all of that nervous, anxious energy. But having said that, fresh milky oat takes the longest to kick in, so it's definitely something that I say this is a longer-term solution. You're going to need to be taking it for at least 3 months before you feel anything. But it's wonderful for helping calm nerves. For someone who feels emotionally unstable, like they feel like they get a lot of fluctuations in their mood and they feel somewhat fragile, definitely the kind of person who's overworked and also works really well with people with attention deficit disorder, so ADD or ADHD. It really helps support them, but again, it takes time to come in. The other area that we're finding a lot of research that it helps support is people who are withdrawing from some kind of addiction. So whether it's coffee or cigarettes, which are somewhat benign, to methamphetamines, adding in fresh milky oats into their supplements helps them with those addiction withdrawals to a point. I'm not saying that you can take somebody off of a serious like opiate or methamphetamine and give them fresh milky oats and they're going to feel fine. It's just going to be supportive and does help to some point. I also think about this for people who seem to really be, they have like emotional outbursts and they're the kind of person who you think just feels like every little thing sets them off, and not sets them off into anger, but sets them off into, they just fall apart, they cry, they seem very fragile, they just don't feel like they have that strength to weather the bumps of life. It can just help them with that strength. And so very safe for children. So often with kids with ADHD or ADD, I will have that as part of their formula because it just seems to help with those symptoms as well. Fresh milky oats, I like it as a tincture again because it's absorbed so well, but I think I've seen it as a supplement as well. It's probably maybe blended with other things, but. Okay. The last herb that we're going to talk about is called mimosa. And I always love this one. You think of the drink, right? The orange juice and vodka, obviously completely unrelated. This is a tree that's called the Tree of Happiness in China. And it's it grows as a weed in the U.S. in the South. But in China, it's one of the most valued herbs for anxiety, stress, and depression. This has been used for centuries in China. And they, like I said, they call it the Tree of Happiness. So it's often used in any kind of formulas to help with mood, depression, and be uplifting. And in the U.S., we have that long history of use that we've pulled on. Not a lot of research on mimosa yet. There's some preliminary studies, and they show all positive effects for anxiety. But I think the more it gets researched, the more that's going to come out. But it really, I think of mimosa for broken hearts, grief, sadness. Often, if I'm working with somebody who's has had a death or a loss in the family, and I think grief and loss is something that in our society we don't support people very well, right? I think it's important that people go through grief in those normal stages of feeling the sadness, feeling the grief. That's normal, like to cry and to feel really down and low. And then once you've gone through that, you can kind of keep going through it into different stages to feel, to kind of come back to yourself. So I know there's another famous herbalist who talks about having gone through a significant loss in his relationships, where he let himself feel that, grieve it, move through it, and then turned to something like mimosa to help continue that process, but not jumping to it. You know, this isn't something you're passing out, you know, in the receiving line of a funeral to say, oh, here, you've lost someone, have some mimosa. It's like, you got to let people get through that initial grief stage, and then I think it can be really helpful.
What if somebody hasn't been able to get to the grief stage? Can it help get into
it? Yeah, I think it can, and what a lot of studies are showing, or at least like anecdotal reports within other herbalists, is it can sometimes make it worse before it makes it better, in that it helps people to really let it out.
Get it out.
Yes. So like PTSD is one area where this herb is being looked at, and people were saying if that person doesn't have a good infrastructure of either psychotherapy or someone at home, that it could actually be harmful in a way to give them mimosa, because if they're all alone and these feelings come up and out and there's no one there to support them. So whenever I'm working with somebody and I'm thinking of using this, I always ask them, do you have any post-traumas? Do you have anything that's in your past that maybe is unresolved? And do you have a support system in place where if this starts to bubble up, you have people to help you through it? A lot of the times, people don't. They're like, no, it's just normal anxiety and depression and mood issues. And in that case, it seems to be really helpful in helping lift people through that.
And it says here, combined with hawthorn and rose petals, is that necessary, mm-hmm. or is that just
no? Something? But that's a classic traditional remedy for grief, because hawthorn is really an herb that's beautiful for heart. It's both medicinally helpful, like congestive heart failure. It's been shown to improve ejection fraction of the heart, which is how well your heart pumps the blood. That's the medical side. But the energetic side of hawthorn is that it's very supportive of our heart, of our love and relationships and heartbreak and heartache. And so is mimosa. So pairing those two together, and roses are also one of those like uplifting, energetically supportive. So that's a very classic grief blend formula for people. Yes. Okay. So I always think of mimosa. I will often put that in my short-term formula as well as long-term, but it does end up in the short-term because you can take it in the moment and feel a little bit uplifted. So if I'm just having a day where things aren't going well and you know you're just getting irritated and you're starting to feel crabby and snappy, I will add, my two favorite things to go to are lemon balm and mimosa together. And I'll just, and have a couple milliliter, a couple squirts of that. And it tends to just brighten things up. It's not gonna, in the moment solve all your problems, but it will certainly help shift your mood from feeling crabby to just feeling a little bit less crabby and supported. Okay.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to go back on the liver function.
Yes.
So
one of the top, so as far as all of these herbs go, turmeric has been shown to be very good for your liver. So I would say that's
the number one.
Something to think about. The other herb, which I didn't talk about because it's not specifically related to to mood, but is really well known to be an adaptogen in that it helps our adrenal glands and it also is supportive to the liver, is schizandra berry. So you could look up, and it's spelled S-C-H. I-S-A-N-D-R-A. It's a great herb for helping with liver. So even after long doses of ibuprofen, schizandra berry can be helpful to help build back your liver. And then the other last one, which I would do a little bit more understanding where you are, like what they're thinking with your liver and what other things you're taking, but milk thistle has been shown to be regenerative of the liver, even to the point of people in liver having liver disease, like liver fat.
Okay.
Milk thistle has been, as part of their formula, can be very helpful.
Great.
Does adrenal fatigue and liver issues are similar?
No, but they often are contributed. So, like the schizandra really helps with all of the things that are going on with our adrenal glands and supporting them, so you're not having all these spikes and drops and drips, and then your hormones are. And then there's, when that happens, then your liver can get more bogged down because it has more work to do because it's clearing out more hormones. And that's one other thing that I will add here, which is anything that we're talking about hormonally related, if you can make sure your digestion is optimal, meaning you're having a bowel movement every day and it's normal, that is one of the best ways to flush out old hormones and not have this recycling of estrogen and hormones that can contribute to feeling moody, crabby, and hormonal. So for PMS, for example, when they come in to work with me for PMS, they think the first thing I'm going to do is give them herbs to change their mood or change their hormones. And really the first thing I do is, are you having a healthy bowel movement every day? And if you're not, your PMS symptoms are going to continue to be bad and get worse because your hormones aren't being flushed out every day properly. So I'll look at things like, do we need to increase some fiber? Do we need to increase fatty acids through fish oils? Are there herbs I can give you to help you support healthy bowel movement? Are you taking a probiotic? Do you have good gut health? So we start there and then work back to, okay, now let's look at the herbs that are going to support your cycle and your mood. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
I have a teenage daughter who does not go every day, and this explains a lot.
Yes, and with teenage daughters and all the hormones that are rampant right now,
that's
going
so
every day, if you can help her get regular, lots of water, fiber, even
so
like...
So essentially her raging hormones are not getting out.
Yeah, we have to... Our liver clears the hormones, and then we poop them out.
Yeah.
And if we don't poop them out, they sit there and they can reabsorb in a more nasty form.
Yes.
And also, is she suffering with acne at all?
Yes.
So that's another big red flag that she's not eliminating. Her liver probably needs a little support. She needs to be pooping more, and a lot of that,
So that's my hormones I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a teenager again. I'm in my 40s.
Yes.
So it's more liver.
It could be. It's a big contributing factor. To make sure that you're eliminating every day, which partly is like your nutrition. So are you eating enough fiber? Are you drinking enough water? Are you getting enough fatty acids to keep things moving? Is your gut microbiome healthy? So are you taking a probiotic and eating fermented foods and decreasing your sugar, not taking a lot of Advil because that upsets your gut microbiome? And then we look at supporting the liver through some herbs, you know, things like that. Like I mentioned, the schisandra berry is really good, or milk thistle. But milk thistle is usually reserved for people with more liver damage. I don't know that that is necessarily needed. And then, you know, all the other stuff that we're talking about. Yeah.
So for the, you said fiber and?
Fiber. So I love doing ground flax seeds, like a tablespoon a day. And I buy the flax seeds, keep them in the refrigerator, and then either daily or weekly grind what you need, because it goes rancid very quickly and easily once it's ground. So I never buy it ground.
What about flax meal?
I know. Get the seed. And so you could do a week at a time and just keep it in an airtight container.
Yeah.
Or what I do is I have a coffee grinder that I only grind flax or herbs in.
Okay.
And so it doesn't taste like coffee.
Okay.
And it literally, it takes 2 seconds. I take the scoop,
right.
I put it in, and then I dump it in either a smoothie or put it in yogurt.
How do you know if it's gone?
Wait, what?
How do you know if it's gone?
Well, people say it smells funny, but I've never noticed it. So I just go by what people say, which is the seeds, once they're ground, begin to oxidize. And after 4 or 5 days of exposure to air, it's probably lost a lot of its properties, and I just
a
trust
bag
that.
By Whole Foods is really,
yeah, I hear a lot of experts say don't do that. So I and I believe them. You have an opinion
right
on that?
Now,
you have a good background
in
food.
I thought my Vitamix actually grinds up the seeds.
Yeah,
you like your Vitamix for
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's a good point. If you put it in
other blenders won't do that.
Yeah.
If you have a really strong blend like a Vitamix, it
yes.
will grind up the fresh flax seeds.
Yes.
But yes, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
That it goes rancid and you don't get the, you know, it's like coffee.
Yeah.
You know, like sits around.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Makes
something.
What do you think? I've been obsessed with cacao nibs lately, and they're high in fiber.
I love them.
I'm
yeah.
loving them.
Yeah, that's a great way to get your fiber.
Yeah.
I love them.
Favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, I love them. I put them on, I love the crunch that they give,
yeah.
and I will often put them in like a smoothie, or I'll do like half of cacao nibs. So they're like a dark, dark chocolate that's not processed and doesn't have sugar added to it. So it's got a chocolatey flavor to it, and it's crunchy.
So I like to put it on top of an acai bowl because it gives it crunch. You have
yeah.
the smooth and the
yeah,
crunch.
I do
good.
That too.
Yeah.
I put it on. I do that. I will put it on. I don't eat dairy, but I eat coconut milk ice cream. So I'll have like vanilla coconut ice cream with some sliced strawberries and then the cacao nibs. Or like a quick blood sugar balancing snack, like half of a banana with some almond butter and then some of the cacao nibs on it. Yeah. Yeah, they're good. I don't know how much fiber they have actually.
No, it says they have a lot of fiber.
Does
okay. I feel
Does
like
it give
I,
it amount?
The magnesium was
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I feel like the fiber was good too. But because I was looking at the bag recently.
Yeah.
I was enjoying them and I was like, oh, I'll read this bag.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fiber was decent.
It probably is. I don't know it offhand, but.
What do you like for fatty acids?
So omega fatty acids, I think a good fish oil supplement. Lolly and I have been talking recently. The company she works with has a really good plant-based omega DHA and EPA. And then like fish sources like salmon. But that's hard because our waters are so polluted. Yeah. So I would say either a really good fish supplement like Nordic Naturals where they test for impurities and you know, or talk to Lolly about the plant-based one because I'm going to actually start switching my family over to it. Because
what is this for?
Fatty acids.
Okay.
Because they're super important for so many things. Like I talk about fatty acids in my depression and anxiety class because it's been shown linked. It's also important with hormones, but we were talking about it for constipation and making sure you can eliminate properly. Brain health, when I do the fertility talks, it's critical for egg and sperm development.
What kind of plant is that? Is it soy?
No, it's plant. It's plant. It's all plants. So
like algae.
You need to get the DHA from what the fish are eating. And that's the algae. So instead of taking the fish, we go straight to the algae.
Ah.
And then it's a full spectrum omega. So it's got the short chain and the long chain fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got the sea buckhorn berry, which is from the Himalayas. It's got raspberry seed oil. It's got, you know, the properties. So it's got the 3, 5, 6, 7, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a full spectrum one. And I like it. I've been taking it for over a year, and I definitely have had benefits from taking it. It took me a while. You know, I just
mm-hmm.
had to get into my system. I wasn't sure what I was looking for, but what I did know is that it really helped my eyesight, which is interesting. My husband's a big fisherman, and it's just, you know, we read a lot about what's happening in the fishing industry, and it's really scary because, you know, you've got these companies that are really raking the bottom of the oceans and taking the feeder fish for the bigger fish, you know, for, you know, fish oil. And that to me is so counterintuitive, you know, because we're supposed to be eating. I mean, the whole reason we're supposed to be eating more fish and salmon, you know, for that, and yet we're killing the food source for these bigger fish and taking them for fish oil. So to me, it's just like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't balance out. It's not
sustainable. It's not sustainable, yeah. It's not sustainable.
So I like this as an alternative.
And where do you get that?
So I work for a company, a whole food nutrition company, and we have this plant-based oil. So I can send you some information.
Yeah, okay, great.
I use the daily supplements as well from her company. So
it's a food company.
Yeah.
It's not really a supplement.
Yeah, I shouldn't call it supplement, sorry.
Yeah, even though the fish oil actually does.
It looks like supplements.
Carries a supplement label, but everything that we have carries a nutrition label.
Great.
Okay, so those are the top herbs that we've talked about for mood, hormone balancing. Like I said, you can take all of them in individually, or you can combine them all together. None of these are contraindicated, really, other than the ways I've explained, like in pregnancy or potentially heavy menstrual bleeding. There's a couple things at the end of this where I talk about like the top four reasons to use herbs. I think I've sort of said this throughout the whole thing. The main reason I love using herbs is because they have so many other side benefits. Herbs are really food. We are meant to ingest them, and we've moved away from that over like the past couple hundred years, but we may be taking herbs for one particular reason, but the herbs do so much more, so they're balancing out our health in so many ways. That's my main number one reason why I love incorporating herbs into our lives. But I do like to always give that caveat of why sometimes herbs don't work. People will often come to me and say, oh, I got sick, and I tried echinacea, and it didn't work. And usually when I dig into it, there's four main reasons. One is maybe you used the wrong herb, so maybe echinacea wasn't the right herb for the particular cold or flu or something that you had in that moment. So that's why it's important to kind of think about what you're trying to accomplish. And then the next reason they don't work is poor quality. So hopefully I've given you some guidelines of trusted brands that most herbalists stand behind. I would never buy stuff off the shelf at like a big box store or CVS or anything. I would go to an herbal store. Like even these tea bags, like this is probably, I mean, I bought it. It was probably packaged 2 years before I bought it. But they're fine in a pinch. And then the other reason is you might not be using the right dosage. So we talked about how with herbs, especially for what we're talking about here with mood, you can really kind of take several doses. Like you could do a dose an hour if you're feeling really agitated and upset. Most people think a little bit more like we do with pharmaceuticals, where it's like, oh, I'll take my pill in the morning and I'll be done with it. With herbs, you know, even when I do a blend for somebody, it's a morning dose and a night dose, and then if you need something during the day. So we tend to have to take a little bit more with herbs than you would with other things. And then the last reason it might not work is not using it long enough. Some herbs, like I said, you can have an immediate feel something, but to have longer term lasting balance, it's at least 3 months. And then at the end, I put some of my favorite brands, which I've sort of sprinkled throughout. I also listed a couple of my favorite books. If you're interested in learning more and kind of taking this on for yourself, I would say Body Into Balance would be my top recommendation. I studied with the author, Maria Noel Groves. I did her in-person advanced herbal internship. It was a 6-month program in her clinic and on her farm, and it was phenomenal. I absolutely love her. And her book is fantastic. So it's a great place to start if you want to do more. I have stuff at the end, of course, if you were interested in working with me for a personal plan, there's more information about how to find me and how I work there. I will email you this. I can either, I'm sure Charlotte has everything, but if you want to maybe just for simplicity, if you just give me your name and email, I will email you this PDF, and then you'll have me, you'll have my email, so if you have any questions, just feel free anytime to hit, you know, reply and ask away.
A friend who wants